Welcome to Theory of Pets. I'm a passionate pet owner with a drive to help others like me uncover the truth about the pet industry and what goes on behind the scenes. Grooming is one of the most intimidating responsibilities that come along with pet ownership. Today, I was able to talk with Tim Vogel. He is the founder and CEO of Scent Hound Grooming, and they really have a different focus than most dog groomers. Instead of just the haircuts and the grooming aspects of it, they also really center around a dog's overall health and well-being. And I think a lot of pet parents don't realize how important grooming, proper grooming, is to maintaining your dog's overall health. So today Tim's going to speak with us about that and give us some tips if you're looking for a dog groomer or you're wondering whether or not you need to hire a professional dog groomer. He's got a bunch of tips to share with us today about finding a groomer if you need one. Tim, can you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them how you got started in the pet grooming industry?
Yeah, so it's actually a funny story. I had gotten married and my wife suggested that we get a dog, and I said I didn't want a dog. I wanted to be able to hang out after work and not have the responsibility of a dog. And she ultimately won, and a crazy thing happened. I absolutely fell in love with the dog. You know, I'm the kind of person that when you get something, I research it, I look into it. And I think the first book I picked up was The Monks of Newski. And then also there's a book called The Art of Raising a Puppy by those guys. And so one of the tactics it said to use to create a bond was take your puppy out somewhere where there's open space. And so I took the dog out to the dog's name at that time was Aggie. I took Aggie out to the woods, set her down, and just walked away. And Aggie was right on my heel following, and that's one of the ways they say to establish you know, your pack hierarchy. And from that moment, there was like this connection, and I totally fell in love with our dog. And so when I was with a company, and we were merging with another company, and I decided it was time to move on. And so I started looking at businesses that I could run myself, and I looked to my passions, and you know, one of the passions was Aggie, and I loved my dog, and I thought, well, this would be a really cool job to show up for every single day. And that's how I got involved in working with dogs.
That's fantastic. And so you've taken it into grooming mostly, and you run your own grooming business.
Yeah, so I started looking at, initially I started looking at franchises and really just wasn't impressed with what was out there. You know, I had a career in operations. You know, I've been vice president of operations of a couple large organizations. And so I thought, you know, I can do this myself. And so I looked at, so I started a mobile pet grooming business. I went to grooming school to learn how that works, got my first mobile grooming truck. And the vision really was is that I was going to start this mobile pet grooming business, I was going to franchise it, and everything would work out great. And I quickly learned that I was not nearly as smart as I thought I was, and there was a whole lot of challenges with the mobile pet grooming business surrounding scalability. So, you know, growing that business is very tough. You know, if you want to be a groomer in a truck, I think that's one thing. But if you want to have franchisees or multiple trucks, there's just a handful of challenges there. And so I really spent, and now I've been doing this 13 years, I've spent the last 13 years really figuring out what dogs need, what the customer wants, and how to create a grooming business that meets all those needs and is profitable and scalable at the same time. And so gone through thousands of experiments, lots of failures, lots of bumped into corners, but ultimately landed with the Scent Hound concept, which is really meeting all of the criteria that I originally had. And we've got a really great business, which we're really excited about.
Congratulations on that. That's very exciting. Can you talk a little bit about what makes your grooming business different from others? Because you focus more on the health aspect and the overall health of the pet than just on the hair cutting, nail trimming, that sort of grooming things.
Yeah, so to talk about that, first of all, the business we named it ScentHound, and Scent is actually an acronym. So Scent stands for skin, coat, ears, nails, and teeth, which are the five core areas that all dogs need care. And one of the big aha moments I had, you know, when we were several years into the business, is that the entire grooming industry is really focused on haircuts. And it's really about the breed standard haircuts. You go to the shows and they want to, you know, figure out, you know, they want to help you figure out how to do the very best breed standard haircut with the you know, the angulation and all these other kinds of things to make your dog look the best possible they can. But what really occurred to me, and it's actually interesting, if you looked at the top 10 breeds owned in this country, only two of those dogs need a haircut. But the reality is all dogs need care, and grooming really is about preventive maintenance and health. And so I really realized that the industry really wasn't focusing on those eight dogs of those top 10 dogs that didn't need haircuts. And so we changed our entire business model to really focus on all dogs and really focus on preventive maintenance and wellness. So we're really about health, not about haircuts. And that's really what's helped us create a business that, first of all, served the customers well and became profitable and scalable.
And so you focus on health, which I agree. I think for some reason in the industry, it is more focused on the haircuts and that aspect of the grooming. But the health is so important. And I think it's something that, you know, a lot of pet owners, one, they don't do at home, I think, because the education isn't there of why it's necessary. But two, also, I think, you know, the health aspect of it, we aren't educated on it as a whole. And so can you talk a little bit about, you know, skin and nails and teeth and why it's so important to focus on those when you're thinking about grooming and not necessarily just the coat?
Yeah, so you know, there's kind of aspects on each of those categories. We have something internally called ScentHound University, where we do a whole module on skin, a whole module on coat, ears, nails, and teeth. But just to give you a couple simple examples, the number one reason a dog visits the vet is for an ear infection. And I mean, talk about the easiest possible thing to avoid is just by basic regular maintenance and cleaning those ears. And it's really simple. It really can do it in 30 seconds to a minute in a lot of cases. And so I think it is really an education gap where people just don't realize that there's some basic responsibilities we have to our family members around preventing some of these things from happening. You know, another example is nails. You know, the nails grow at a pace in which is consistent with how much the dogs used to you know, the wolves used to travel, which would wear those nails down. You know, they're living in houses with carpet now, and they're not wearing them at the same pace. So as those nails grow longer, they actually disfigure the knuckles, change the whole skeletal structure. So just basic stuff like that, if it's maintained, can really keep that dog much healthier, or could really go wrong if we don't maintain it. So it's education. And one of the things that we're really proud of that we do within our business is at the end of every service, we give our customers something we call a scent check. And we rate their dog's overall health on a 1 to 5 scale on skin, on coat, on ears, on nails, on teeth. And then we actually add glands there as our sixth category. And that scent check actually has a little blurb on the back of it with education about the area where they scored the lowest. So we really in the business of education also to help dog parents be the best dog parents they can be.
Well, that's fantastic. And that's, you know, as I mentioned, I think my biggest thing that I see is people just, it's not that we don't care about our dogs. We all love our dogs, of course. And, you know, we want to take the best care of them that we can. But if you're not educated, a lot of times we think, you know, as long as your dog has a haircut to keep the hair out of their face and keep it from getting matted, you know, they don't look into skin and glands, especially, you know, nails, teeth, all of that stuff. I know teeth is especially a big one. February was Pet Dental Health Month, so we did a couple of interviews on that, and you know, it really benefits the dog's overall health and well-being to have all of those things maintained regularly.
Yeah, teeth is one of the big areas where education, and you said you did some podcasts on that, so that's amazing, because dental health is really an issue that's really impact an area which is really impacting the dog's overall health the most. I mean, we fundamentally believe that all dog parents want to be the best dog parents they can. But the reality is when you buy your dog, when you rescue your dog, whenever you come across, you know, whenever, however you get your dog, it's really, I think people think, okay, I don't want them to poop or go to the bathroom in the house. I know I need to feed them. And what else is there, right? And there's this just huge other area, which is around skin, coat, ears, nails, teeth, and glands, that if people had a little bit of basic information, they could eventually extend their dog's life and have it a much make it a much healthier, happier life for them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, part of that is the grooming and maintenance. Some of it can be done at home. Do you recommend, obviously there are people out there who have owned dogs for many years and they've educated themselves and they know what they're doing when it comes to pet grooming. But for, let's say, somebody who isn't an expert in dog grooming, would you recommend taking on that challenge on your own?
Yeah, so I think it's possible, absolutely. I think it's possible to maintain your dog, and I think it's not terribly hard if you're willing to put in the time and do a little learning. I think the areas that are the easiest are like the nails, the coat, and the skin, where it's just, you know, some regular brushing, cleaning of the ears, that kind of stuff can be done pretty simply. I think where it gets a little bit more challenging and where we've found most of our customers get the most nervous is when it comes to caring for their teeth and clipping their nails. And I think nails is probably the biggest one. I think teeth, there are a myriad of solutions that have, you know, kind of a different range of effectiveness, all the way from a water additive to the kind of treats they can have, all the way up to kind of the most effective, which is brushing their teeth and getting regular dentals done. And then on the nails, you know, that's the one that's a little scarier. And I think if people could get comfortable with the fact that they're not going to get it perfect, as long as they make it fun and interactive with their dog, and if they're really patient, they could get there too with the nails.
So let's say somebody that maybe they don't have the time, or it is very intimidating. People worry about hurting their dog, or, you know, not doing it as well as a professional. So let's say somebody is looking for a professional groomer, and how would you recommend finding a groomer that would be right for you and your pet?
You know, I would say, first and foremost, you've got to trust the groomer you're going to. So really listening to your intuition when you walk into a place, is this a place that I feel comfortable leaving my dog? Because the dog, you know, they're not going to tell you if something went wrong in most cases. You know, the behavior you might be able to read a little, but you really have to be able to trust the place you're going into. And things that I would look for when going into a grooming salon is how willing is the person that you're work, you know, the person at the front counter or the groomer you're talking with, how willing are they to kind of talk you through the process that they're going to do with your dog? I think simple things like, does the place look organized? Because, you know, if the place looks, you know, wreck or disheveled, then, you know, maybe they don't have their stuff as organized as they should in order to give the best care to dogs. To the dogs that are in their care. You know, I think just how they react with your dog, you know, just kind of looking at, you know, do they seem empathetic? Do they seem loving? Does the, you know, I've often walked in businesses where the vibe is just not great, and I've walked into businesses where the vibe is just positive and feels really warm and comfortable. You know, what's the vibe you get from the place? You know, just kind of that overall sense of, do they have their stuff together, and is it a loving environment? So I think the other thing surrounding organization is safety. I think safety is kind of one of the main things that a groomer should be focused on when performing their services. And I think organization speaks to safety a lot too. Do they have processes and procedures to guarantee that your dog is going to be safe while in their care?
I agree. Safety is definitely a big thing. I think that's a pet owner's biggest fear a lot of times going into a groomer's. Every once in a while you do hear the stories in the news where, you know, something terrible happens. So, you know, it is a worry, and it is definitely something that should be heavily focused on.
Yes. And with that being said, you know, mistakes happen. So a nail might get clicked, meaning that nail might be cut a little too short where it's bleeding, or there might be a nick from the clipper blades because, you know, the dog moved just at the wrong time, and you know, mistakes happen, but it should be little things like that. And I think another thing that you should really look for your groomers, 100% transparency around, hey, I clipped the nail when we were clipping the nail, the nails. This is what I did to resolve it. And just that transparency and that honesty from your groomer. Because I don't want to make it seem like mistakes never happen. They definitely do happen. But as long as you've got an open, honest relationship around that and you feel like they're taking all their precautions, I think you should feel good about your groomer.
And are there certain trainings or certifications that groomers should have that you should be looking for if you're checking somebody out for the first time?
You know, that was one of the major barriers when I speak about barriers to overcome. That was one of the biggest barriers that we as a company had to, and me as an entrepreneur had to overcome when getting into this business. There is no really any licensing out there that can say, hey, this is the standard that we should live by as groomers. Now, there is the master groomer certification, but I'd say, you know, 80% of that training is really around breed standards and being able to achieve that perfect looking dog, right? And so something that we did really in our business to innovate around that is we have our own certification process internally at each and every level of skill that you learn. So, you know, there's a safety certification, there's, you know, a prep and there's a trimming and there's a parasites and all these different classes that we put our own people through to really guarantee that we have consistency across all of our people around knowledge. So there is a challenge around that, because when I actually started this business and was looking to hire people, you know, anyone can call themselves a groomer. And what I found is when I started interviewing and trialing different groomers, there was a huge range of skill, knowledge, and ability amongst those people I was talking to.
I agree. And, you know, I think it's fantastic that you go through and certify your groomers in those different areas. You know, training is something that a lot of people look for. It's kind of that quick, easy way to tell if somebody takes things seriously. Are they trained? We look for that and everything. You wouldn't go into a doctor's office with a doctor that didn't have a PhD. So I think it's something that, you know, pet owners can look at really quickly and see something, but also obviously it's crucial for the groomers to completely know and understand all those different aspects of grooming that you've been talking about.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a lot to know, and it's, you know, it's a real trait, and I think a lot of people don't understand, and this is a kind of another big problem with the industry, is that people don't really understand how hard it is to be a good groomer. And what level of knowledge you need in order to provide the care in the right way. You know, people think, he's washing my dog. But that couldn't be further from the truth. And I think a lot of people also make decisions based on price. Like, okay, I don't want to pay that much to have my dog cared for. But, you know, you really need to understand what you're paying for. And when you look at a groomer, you really want to be paying for someone who is knowledgeable. Someone who's organized, someone who's got their stuff together in the business. And so the cheapest isn't always the best.
I agree. And, you know, first of all, thank you for what you do, because it is more difficult, I think, than a lot of people realize. A lot of people I hear that have not made it in the grooming industry, you know, they got into it because they probably have a dog or they love dogs. And they think, well, what can I do as a career to spend all my time with dogs? I could be a groomer. It'd be wonderful. But they don't think about all the things that go into that and all the different aspects they are. They think about brushing and bathing dogs and, you know, anybody could do that. I can do that. But then when you get into, you know, the health and the safety and the nail clipping, the teeth cleaning and that kind of stuff, you know, there's so much more to it that it really is a lot more difficult, I agree, than most people think.
Yeah, and so, you know, you get a lot of those, you get a lot of the people that get into business early, you know, kind of for their own, and they're trying it on their own. And I think one of the big mistakes a lot of people who get into the grooming business in the beginning make is they don't charge enough. And then they find out that they're working their butt off and they're undervaluing themselves, which then means their customers are going to undervalue what service they provide. And then they ultimately end up in a really tough position trying to make ends meet and really kind of killing themselves. And so one of our missions here at Scenthound, and we're just starting to franchise it, but is to professionalize dog care and make it really seen in a much more respectable light, and people to really understand that it is a respectable career and endeavor.
That's great. And for anybody that wants more information about Scenthound, if you hear this and you're interested in franchising, or you just want more information about what they do, there is a link to your website below this podcast for anybody that wants to check that out. And I'll also mention there's a really great blog on your site that has tips for all pet owners, from first-time pet owners all the way through to experienced pet owners. So I definitely encourage people to check out your site and get some more information that way.
Great. Thank you for that. You know, when we talk about caring for our dogs, you know, my big aha moment, and I'll tell you this really quick story, is I was in my neighborhood and a new neighbor just moved in, and we met out on the sidewalk. We were both walking our dogs, and I told him I owned a dog grooming business, and he's sitting there with his lab. His lab was probably 8, 9, 10 years old, and he says, "That's great. You know, I love my dog, and you know, but he just doesn't need grooming." And I think that was the big aha moment for me, was seeing this dog, which I could actually smell the dog's ear infection. I could actually see his knuckles were disfigured and his nails were pointing sideways because the nails had been cut. And I think there's just a real lack of awareness around kind of that basic responsibility as a dog owner. And that's really the mission that we're set out upon, out to solve, which is, you know, getting people to understand that all dogs need care, not just dogs that need haircuts. And so that's what I'd leave with is, you know, if we could help your listeners understand that, you know, there's some really cool stuff that you're talking about, but one of those things that we need to think about is just the basic preventive maintenance to keep your dog happy and healthy. And you know, there's just a lot of benefits that come from it around longevity of life and just their overall happiness. So.
Yeah, I always encourage people, you know, every dog needs grooming. Some dogs need more than others is how I always explain it. You know, you get dogs that really should go to the groomers maybe once a month. And then you get dogs that, you know, don't need to go as often, but every dog needs grooming. My advice to people is always to seek out a groomer in your area. Find somebody that you trust, even if it's something you think you may want to do at home. Contact a professional, have them check your dog out and give you some recommendations of how often should he be getting bathed, how often should he be getting his nails clipped, his teeth cleaned, those kind of things. And, you know, that's what they're there for. I've never met a groomer that wasn't willing to talk with a pet owner about their pet and their grooming needs. So I would highly encourage anybody listening that has questions about that to seek a professional in your area and figure that stuff out. Educate yourself.
Absolutely. Well said.
Another huge thank you to Tim Vogel for being here today. If there's a scent hound in your area, make sure you check that out. Again, there's a link to their website where you can get some more great information, as well as their blog. You can check that out. There's tons of information on there, not just about dog grooming, but about pet health and wellness in general. So thank you to Tim. If you guys have any questions, jump on our website. There's a link to our site below this interview as well, theoryofpets.com. Leave any questions there. I'll be sure to get back to you as soon as I can. And if I can't answer your questions, I'll be happy to pass them along to Tim to see if he can answer them for us. While you're on there, if you could take just a second to leave me a review, that really helps when I reach out to experts like Tim so I can show them that you guys are here and you're listening and you want to hear more about the pet industry and pet care in general. So again, thanks for listening, guys. I will be back with another podcast next week.